This is an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, August 23rd, 2014. This week in security news, starting first in the Middle East. On multiple occasions this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via text messages to their mobile devices regarding the terror threats made to this country by ISIS, also known simply as the Islamic State, as well as warnings of the seriousness of these threats made by our nation's defense leaders. On Monday, following the resumption of airstrikes on Islamic State military positions, the organization posted a new internet video message warning the United States it will attack Americans in any place if the raids continue. The video, which was released by Reuters, shows a photo of an American who was beheaded during the U.S. occupation of Iraq and also featured a statement which said, in English, "We will drown all of you in blood." On Tuesday, the Islamic State issued another video showing the gruesome beheading of U.S. journalist James Foley. Militants in the video also threatened to kill other captive Americans if President Obama doesn't end military operations in Iraq. It is believed that there are more than 20 Western journalists currently being held captive by the organization. On Wednesday, Al-Qaeda in Yemen, also known as Al-Qaeda in Arabian Peninsula, issued a public statement pledging solidarity with the Islamic State. Quote, "We announce solidarity with our Muslim brothers in Iraq against the crusade. Their blood and injuries are ours, and we will surely support them. We stand by the side of our Muslim brothers in Iraq against the American and Iranian conspiracy and their agents of the apostate Gulf rulers." The statement went on to offer ISIS fighters tips on how to avoid airstrikes. Listeners are reminded that Al-Qaeda in Arabian Peninsula has been responsible for a number of attacks, both successful and unsuccessful, on the United States. These include the October 2000 bombing of the USS Cole, the 2004 Khobar massacre, the 2009 Little Rock recruiting office shooting, the Christmas 2009 underwear bomber incident over Detroit, the November 2009 Fort Hood shooting, and a 2010 cargo plane bomb plot. The U.S. considers Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula the most active of the various Al-Qaeda affiliates, and in a word, this group has talent. On Thursday, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, issued the gravest warnings to date on the threat posed by the Islamic State to U.S. citizens and interests. Quoting Secretary of Defense Hagel, "They're beyond just a terrorist group. They marry ideology with a sophisticated strategic and tactical military prowess, and they're tremendously well-funded. This is way beyond anything that we've seen. We must prepare for everything, and the only way to do that is to take a cold, steely-eyed look at it and get ready." Quoting Joint Chiefs Chairman General Martin Dempsey, "This is an organization that has an apocalyptic, end-of-day strategic vision and which will eventually have to be defeated." When General Dempsey was asked if ISIS could be taken down without a military incursion into Syria, where much of the organization remains based, his response was blunt. "The answer is no. That will have to be addressed on both sides of what is essentially, at this point, a non-existent border." Also, late this week, a ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Senator James Inhofe, said the Islamic State is working on the capability to wipe out an entire city inside the United States. Quoting Senator Inhofe, "The Islamic State is rapidly developing a method of blowing up a major U.S. city, and people just can't believe that it's happening." We remind listeners that these statements are not far-fetched, particularly when considered in light of the near-complete breakdown of security and deterrence along the U.S.-Mexico border. If thousands of young Latino children can manage to cross into the country, as is so widely reported by the mainstream media, it would therefore also be a cakewalk for trained fighters and operatives to also enter unhindered. So as to highlight the ease with which one can do so, just weeks ago, investigative filmmaker James O'Keefe released a new video of himself crossing the Rio Grande River into Texas dressed as Osama bin Laden. There was not a border agent in sight. At this point, there should be no question that more war is coming and there is an extremely high potential for the battle to ultimately reach the U.S. homeland. Just as large military campaigns are preceded by what is referred to as battlefield conditioning, similar efforts are also made to condition public opinion. From nonstop emotional coverage of the beheading of a journalist to increasingly tense warnings being made by elected officials, public opinion is proactively being shaped to minimize pushback and political fallout. While not covered to any great extent by the media, U.S. forces are flowing into the region, including to bases in Turkey, Jordan, Kuwait, and elsewhere. Alert USA continues to closely monitor developments in this region and will immediately notify service subscribers of the outbreak of larger armed conflict involving U.S. forces or changes in the overall domestic terrorism threat environment as events warrant. In a brief Ebola update, Despite the well-publicized release of two physicians from Emory University Hospital this week, with at least one appearing to have undergone a seemingly miraculous recovery, Alert USA cautions listeners to not become complacent on the overall threat posed by the Ebola outbreak. The virus remains one of the most lethal pathogens known to exist, and these two individuals have been privy to the full extent of available medical treatments this country has to offer. Still, doctors at the medical facility readily admit they do not know if the experimental drug played any role in their recovery. According to Dr. Bruce Ribner of Emory University Hospital, the head of the team caring for the two infected patients, quote, "Frankly, we do not know whether it helped them, whether it made no difference, or even theoretically, if it delayed their recovery." When Dr. Ribner was asked how the patients became infected since they were supposedly following all of the recommended precautions, he stated the following, quote, "We don't know how they became infected, and neither do they." While the nation rightfully rejoices in their recovery, many questions remain, as well as conflicting pieces of information. For instance, during Thursday's Emory University press conference, Dr. Ribner clearly stated that there is strong epidemiologic evidence that once an individual has recovered from an Ebola virus disease infection, that individual is immune to that strain. This directly conflicts with information delivered just one day earlier by Professor Victor Einem, a member of the World Health Organization's Committee of Experts on Ebola Virus Disease in West Africa, who states that a cured Ebola victim could in fact be reinfected with the same virus if fresh contact was made with carriers. As of Thursday the 21st, official numbers stand at just under 2,500 reported cases and 1,350 deaths. In the last 2 weeks, this number has grown by a whopping 694 cases and 389 deaths. And these are just the documented numbers. As reported in last week's update, the World Health Organization has announced that the scale of the Ebola virus outbreak in West Africa has been vastly underestimated, meaning that the official numbers are in no way representative of the true numbers. And something else is stirring. The World Health Organization is now reporting that at least 70 people have died and 500 are infected with a yet unidentified hemorrhagic disease in the Northern Democratic Republic of Congo, Africa's second largest country. Though the disease manifests Ebola-like symptoms, the World Health Organization currently denies the illness was Ebola. Five healthcare workers, including one doctor, are among the dead. Also, keep in mind the following actions taken by foreign governments just this week. On Thursday, the government of South Africa instituted a complete ban on non-citizens from Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, as well as banned all non-essential outgoing travel to the affected countries. Further, stringent screening procedures are now in place for those who travel between Nigeria, Kenya, and Ethiopia. The government of Senegal has suspended all flights to and from Ebola-affected countries, as well as closed all land borders with Guinea. Cameroon and the Ivory Coast have also imposed travel bans. Here again, we arrive at that burning question, what does all this mean to you? As reported over the last several weeks, Alert USA warns listeners that the global spread of the Ebola virus is realistically just getting started and is expected to continue for many months to come. And as the director of the CDC has warned, the arrival of Ebola-infected individuals in the U.S. is quote-unquote inevitable. Also consider that according to the CDC, U.S. hospitals have reported 68 suspected cases of Ebola. Of these, 58 instances were false alarms, 10 resulted in blood samples being sent to the CDC for testing, and of these, 3 are still awaiting results. And flu season has not even arrived. We refer you to last week's Threat Journal newsletter and podcast for a look at how U.S. hospitals are worried about and preparing for the confluence of a rising number of suspected Ebola cases, as well as a normal influx of those suffering from influenza. Here again, Alert USA strongly recommends that airline travelers and those using public transportation become hypersensitive about your proximity to those individuals who are visibly ill. While health authorities stress that Ebola is not airborne, it is transmissible, as with most other contagions, via airborne saliva particles and droplets, such as those released in coughs and sneezes. Additionally, the CDC now admits that casual contact, meaning anywhere within 3 feet of an infected person, does pose a risk of transmission. As such, your increased polite vigilance can only be a benefit to your overall safety. You can find much more on this story, including preparedness resources and links to the high points and quoted statements made in this report, in this week's issue of the Threat Journal newsletter. As always, Alert USA continues to closely monitor developments with the spread of this virus and will immediately notify service subscribers of the release of important notices and warnings by government agencies or any other change in the overall threat environment which could impact you as events warrant. In travel security news, listeners are reminded that there are currently more than 3 dozen formal U.S. government-issued travel warnings in effect for locations around the world specifically identified as posing significant risks for U.S. citizens. This is in addition to a worldwide caution specifically warning of the continuing threat of terrorist actions and violence against U.S. citizens and interests globally. If you are planning travel abroad, even to such common locations as the Caribbean, Mexico, or Europe, now more than ever you are advised to regularly check the U.S. State Department's travel website where information can be found about the security situation at your destination. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, August 23rd, 2014.